1 year ago, I shared the story of the Peterson family with you. The Shell Lake Massacre was a story about their death, but it was also a story about their life. I grew up hearing ghost stories about the Petersons and the horrifying mass murder that left 9 members of the family dead. As I began working on this project, my view on the family shifted. Sitting with Kathy Hill as she recounted stories of her parents and siblings took them from these abstract victims and turned them back into living, breathing people in my mind. As we once again approached the anniversary of the Petersons' deaths, I knew exactly who I wanted to spend some more time with.
Hey, Auntie, how are you?
Good, and you good?
Back at it again. Look at us. 1 year later.
This is the Shell Lake Massacre. You're listening to Episode 7, The Final Chapter. I'm your host, Brittany Caffey. As I made the hour and a half long drive to Kathy Hill's home in Spiritwood, a nervous knot arose in my stomach. I felt almost as anxious as I did before we initially sat down to start work on the podcast. A whole year has passed since the first episode of the series was released, but somehow it doesn't feel any easier or less uncomfortable to speak with Kathy about the tragedy that's overshadowed most of her life. But we both agreed that there were still some questions lingering in the air surrounding the process of creating the podcast, and that it was time to answer them and turn the page on this chapter of the Peterson story. She poured me a cup of coffee and we sat down together at her kitchen table to speak about the Shell Lake Massacre for the last time.
It would have been early in 2023 when I kind of called you out of the blue and asked if I could interview you about your family. Do you remember what you thought?
Yeah. I don't know as I thought that much of it, but now when I think back, I'm thinking, okay, that's a good thing, because now my family might be remembered.
Did you have any hesitation or nerves at all when I first asked if we could do this together?
No, I don't think so. I think I felt like it was maybe a good thing to get it all out there and have people know them again.
Growing up in this area near Shell Lake, it was always a story that I had heard about, but all I really knew about your family was that they were the victims of this horrible crime.
Yeah.
And I kind of had all of these questions in the back of my mind about the people that they were, that you're sort of the last person that has the answer to those questions.
Yeah. And like, even my kids don't know any of them. You know, anybody that's younger than I am, really, didn't know anything about them. And now most of them that did know were gone. My aunts and uncles are all gone. And I'm losing cousins every year now.
As we kind of started delving into the story of your family, what was that like for you to kind of open up about that?
Well, yeah, it kind of brought back a lot of nasty memories, but at the same time, it was not really a bad thing.
As we were talking, you mentioned that a lot of memories about your family you had kind of suppressed, pushed down, you hadn't thought about them, because every time you thought about them, these negative things would come up. Have you been able to have any good memories also come back?
Oh, yeah. I remember playing outside and having a ball game with them and those kind of things. We'd go berry picking, and I just remembered them all as they were when I was at home with them. Fun-loving, and we'd fight and make up, and just so many things that they missed out on and I missed out on. But life goes on.
As all of these episodes were rolling out, like I work in Saskatoon, I'm not here in the community. Before the first episode came out, I was pretty nervous as to what the reaction from people in our home community would be. I had a few people that were kind of like, well, why would you bring this up now? Why would you dive mm-hmm. back into this? What are your thoughts on that question of why now?
Well, I don't know. It wasn't a bad thing. Like, I've had quite a few people reach out to me and say, well, I know you and I knew you, but I never knew what you went through. Or I'd heard about it, but I didn't know it was your family. And a lot of the neighbors texted me or got a hold of me. And I never, ever thought about how it affected them. Like, our closest neighbor was right across the road. And those kids had to see that house every day. And I know Linda said it was hard riding the school bus because they had to go right by.
I think there was this group of people waiting with bated breath to hear mm-hmm. what that first episode was going to be like. You had already heard it, thankfully, because yeah. before any of the episodes came out, I came and I sat down with you and we listened to the first episode and the last episode together. What was that experience for you like, me coming and us sitting at the same table and listening to those two back to back?
It was good, really. Better, probably, than hearing it when I'm alone. Because a lot of it, it just never really sunk in. And now it seems like the older I get, the more it does.
Yeah. For the rest of the episodes, were you just by yourself listening?
Most of the time, yes. Some of the time, Linda was here. There was a lot of things that I didn't know because everybody tried to keep hiding it. You know, they didn't want to bring it up. So there was a lot that I didn't find out at the time.
What were some of the details or things that you didn't know at the time that you were able to learn from the podcast?
Mostly how they found him and those kinds of things. I know the RCMP worked very hard and they were really good.
Pretty early in the process, when we were first starting to talk about this, I had reached out to the RCMP and then reached out to some archives to try and get that RCMP file. And I had kind of hit a dead end and I wasn't hearing back. We were waiting for approval because there was really sensitive information yeah. in that case file. So they needed some special approval to give it to me. And by the time we launched on August 15th of last year, I still did not have that case file in my possession. And I think it was 2 days after that first episode came out, they decided to let me have it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of curious as to whether perhaps someone listened and decided that this was a good opportunity for the details in that file to come out.
Well, yeah, that could be. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think there was some concern that this would be a piece of work that really set out to just like sensationalize this story. What are your thoughts on how this story kind of played out? Do you think that...
I think it was really good. And I have had a lot of people say that too. Like, it was good to just hear how everything was and maybe as a... information rather than all the gory details.
As I was kind of going through things, and especially once I got that police file, one of the things that was always in the back of my mind was the dignity of your parents and of your siblings. And kind of as I worked through all of those details, the thing that was always in the back of my mind was, is this information going to keep the dignity of the Petersons intact? It can be easy to get caught up in the gory details.
Oh, yes.
That make you kind of like catch your breath when mm-hmm. you hear them. But there is so much more your parents weren't just victims. They were whole people. And I think that was an important part of this story that we tried to tell together. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your experience was like with reporters and with the media in the early days right after all of this happened.
Oh, it was horrible. You know, you'd get one of them would want you to tell a story, but none of it was ever written down right. It was all their idea. And I know there was a couple of times when we'd go back to the to these mums, and there was somebody standing there with their head stuffed in the window of the vehicle before you could even get out. So, yeah, they were. Then, well, the RCMP actually put somebody in the yard or in the house to stay with us.
Do you think your initial treatment from the media and from reporters is part of why you were so hesitant to share your story for so long?
I think that's a lot of it, yes. Because they'd write it down, but it was never really what I was saying or feeling or anything else.
So then what in the world made you agree to my random phone call being like, hey, you want to do this?
Well, because I knew you and your family. And I guess that's the big thing.
What was it like for your kids to listen to this?
Not too bad, really. They found out a lot of things they didn't know. But, no, I think it was all together. It worked out okay. They were happy.
We all got together for Thanksgiving last year, which was nice because it's been a long time since our family had all gotten together. So it was kind of nice that this piece of work was something that like brought us together as a family again. But I found it interesting as we were all kind of sitting around, I could sense that it was kind of like this elephant in the room. Everyone sort of wanted to talk about it, but no one wanted to bring it up. I find it really interesting that there's still this layer of, you know, we're not quite comfortable enough to talk about it yet. Do you think that that'll ever go away, or is this always just going to...
I mean, I know a lot of the kids that I went to school with just don't talk. They don't even come up and talk to me. I've had one that did. But for the most part, they just don't mention it.
Do you prefer if people just don't mention it?
Most of the time, yes. It's just easier.
It's easier, but I do find it interesting that through this process, and I know the seminars have said the same thing, that kind of sitting down and unpacking everything and just laying it all out on the table, it seemed to be in some way like this kind of cathartic healing experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what was that like for you?
It was good. You know, just get everything out there and let people know that I'm still here.
You know, for me, I've always thought you were a great person and I've always respected you. But hearing your story and everything that you have gone through and the way that you've continued to live your life through all of that, I've been truly inspired by you, Auntie. And I know that a lot of people that I've talked to about the podcast say the same thing. Everybody wants to be remembered.
Yeah.
That's kind of what everyone's hope is, that once they're gone, they'll be remembered and hopefully for something good.
Yeah.
I think for a long time with your parents and your siblings, they were remembered as victims. For me, now when I think of Jim Peterson, I think of this guy who had a bit of a temper, but was so loving and patient with his kids. And I think about your mom, and I think about a woman who was exhausted raising all of these kids and would go to milk the cows for some quiet time.
Yeah.
And, you know, with each of your siblings, I think about these aspects of their personality that you've told me about, like how William was so mischievous and Jean was so athletic and loved to be outside. It's been such a gift for me, Auntie, to get to know your family through you.
Yeah.
And what a legacy you have created for them. Because to me, and I know to everyone who has listened to this podcast, they're not just victims anymore. How do you hope people remember your family?
Well, as a huge farming family that lived at one point.
So more than just their death, just remembering that they lived.
You've been listening to The Shell Lake Massacre, a Ralco Radio production. This show was researched, written, produced, and hosted by me, Brittany Caffey. Supervising producers Ashley Trask, Sarah Mills, and Marie Wood. Story consultant Craig Siliphant. Production support by Dallas Dole and Shelby Emro. Graphic design by Jennifer Losey with Ralco Creative Strategies. Special thanks to Aaron McNutt, John Gormley, and Kathy Hill.